We'll now read our scripture reading for this morning. If you turn again to the Gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll read just verses 46 through to the end of 52. Jesus healing of this man, blind man Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to the end of the chapter. And let us hear God's own word speaking to our own hearts and minds this morning through these words here. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, we come this morning in our series Encounters with Jesus to the well-known and very familiar story of Jesus' healing of blind Bartimaeus, a man who, though he was physically blind, saw what so many others around him failed to see. You see, with the eyes of faith, he saw that Jesus was the Son of David, that he was the divine Messiah. He was God's promised remedy and provision for sinners in all of their need. And so he cried out in his need for Jesus to show him mercy. And of course, that's a cry that never goes unnoticed or unheard by Jesus. And so even though the Lord Jesus was passing through Jericho here on his way to Jerusalem, no doubt he had the thought of his impending trial and crucifixion impressed upon his heart and his soul. Nevertheless, we see here he took the time to stop and heal this poor blind beggar, Bartimaeus. You see, he heard and answered his cry. He restored his sight to him and delivered him from his pitiful condition. Because you see, as the Bible repeatedly reminds us, especially in the book of Psalms, Lord regards the prayer of the destitute, does not despise their prayer, nor does he hide his face from those who are afflicted. But when they cry out to him, he hears their cry, and he does not turn away their prayer nor his mercy from them. And the Lord Jesus will always hear the cry of a soul who truly moves out in faith toward him then. And you see, this encounter here with Bartimaeus is meant to remind us of that wonderful fact. And as we look at it this morning then, I want to reflect on four things that we learn from it about this true man of faith, Bartimaeus. And the first thing we'll consider is his condition. And secondly, we'll focus on his cry. In the third place, we'll see his cure. And then finally, in the fourth place, we'll reflect on his commitment. Well, let us begin then by considering Bartimaeus's condition. And what a pitiful condition it truly was. For we're told here in verse 46 that he was a blind man who spent his days at the side of the road begging. And Bartimaeus wasn't just blind then. He was also impoverished. And we're not told here whether he was born blind, like the man that we read of in John chapter 9, or whether his blindness had come about as the result of an infection or disease because of some accident or for some other reason. Not informed here as to the cause or the duration of his blindness. We're simply told that he was blind. But we do know that because he was blind, he was reduced to living the life of a beggar. You see, in Jesus' day, they didn't have welfare programs and charitable institutions to help people like Bartimaeus, as we obviously do today. There was no social security or other government programs to which he could turn for aid then. And so because of his condition, because of his physical handicap, he had no choice but to simply beg in order to survive. And that meant his life, it was totally dependent upon the sympathy and generosity of others then. You see, he'd have been forced to live off handouts and whatever scraps of food he might receive from passers-by, because he couldn't go out and find a job or earn wages for himself in order to earn a regular living. And so day in and day out then, no doubt for many, many years, he had been sitting here at Jericho beside the road, begging for just enough to survive another day. No doubt some days were better than others as far as the takings were concerned. But friends, this was his life. This was all he had to look forward to from one week to the next. He could only sit day by day and wait and hope and pray that someone would see him and hear him as he stretched out his hands and asked for help, that they would be moved with pity or perhaps guilt even to toss a few coins or some food in his direction. And you see, Bartimaeus was a nobody then. Nobody would have had any real care or concern for him. Remember, outside of being a leper, being a blind beggar was actually the lowest rank in Jewish society. Because according to Jewish theology, if you were blind, you were under divine judgment. You were deemed to be blind because God was punishing you. And by and large, then, Bartimaeus would have been despised by those around him as being a man under a divine curse. And so he would have been marginalized and ignored by the majority of people here in Jericho where he lived. You see, he was probably seen by them then as nothing more than a blot in the landscape. He was simply a nuisance. And his condition was a truly pitiful and miserable one then. He was a man living in a cruel and a heartless world, a world of poverty and uncertainty, with no real hope for the future. But you see, aside from the fact of the daily hardships he endured, because of his blindness, his lack of any real future prospects, think also about the fact that on account of his blindness, he lived in a world of constant darkness, a world in which he could never hope to see and experience all of the many things that you and many of us simply take for granted day by day. And he may never even have seen a beautiful sunrise or sunset then. He never have enjoyed looking up at the night sky above him, filled with millions of bright stars. It was all darkness to him. The beauty of his surroundings then, the beauty of the birds and the butterflies, the plants and the trees, everything else in God's wonderful creation was all off limits to him. Because you see, at night when he closed his eyes to sleep, in the morning when he reopened them, it was all the same. Nothing but total, constant, incessant darkness. And his condition, it was a truly unenviable one then. It's one that he probably thought he was destined to live with until he would finally leave this world at death. But of course, as we know, it was a condition the Lord Jesus could liberate him from, because he was the Son of David, the divine Messiah. It was the one that Isaiah prophesied about in the 35th chapter of the same book that bears his name, where he tells us that one of the things that would occur when the Messiah would come when the Son of David would manifest his rule and his kingship on earth, it would be that the blind would be enabled to see. That's why you'll remember when John the Baptist was in prison, began to lose his assurance. And so he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him if he was really the Messiah. And what was it that you remember Jesus said to those disciples in Matthew chapter 11? Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. And of course, one of the things that they saw was that the blind received their sight in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And perhaps blind Bartimaeus, he knew of that prophecy himself. But even if he didn't, he obviously had sufficient knowledge of Jesus to see him with the eyes of faith as the Son of David, the promised Messiah. And so he cried out to him, as we read in verse 47, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it's this cry of Bartimaeus we want to focus on then in the second place. It's a cry that was born out of a deep sense of his need. But it was also a cry that was based on his knowledge of Jesus. You see, although he may have been physically blind, he saw in his heart Jesus in a way that others didn't. Or as Luke tells us in his account of this encounter in Luke chapter 18 and verses 36 and 37, when Bartimaeus heard the multitude of people passing by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And as Mark tells us, here then, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out to him, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you see, to many in Jesus' day and also today, Jesus was simply a man from Nazareth. And that's all many in this great crowd of people saw as they looked at him. But not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus saw Jesus through the eyes of faith as he really was, not just as another man, not just as another religious teacher or rabbi even, someone even who had power to perform miracles and work wonders. He saw that too. But you see, most importantly, he recognized that this same Jesus of Nazareth, he was the Messiah. And Bartimaeus must have had at least knowledge, enough knowledge then, of the Old Testament to know that Jesus was revealed there as the coming Messiah. And obviously he had also heard about Jesus of Nazareth. You can well imagine as he sat by the roadside begging day by day, he would have heard the many conversations of passers-by. No doubt because of his blindness, sense of hearing, it would have been even more acute than normal. And so he'd have very likely have heard people speaking of the things that Jesus had said and done. His fame, you see, as we know it, had spread far and wide. And Bartimaeus would have heard about Jesus' teachings, his miracles then, about his claims and his power. Very likely he'd heard of how he was giving sight to the blind. And you see, as he processed all that he was hearing, as he meditated upon these things, he obviously put all of that information together. And you see, as he did so, light began to arise in his soul, and the eyes of his soul were opened through the entrance of God's word into his heart to now see Jesus as he truly was. And so as he hears that this same Jesus is right there in front of him, within a stone's throw of him, he realizes that an opportunity has come for him to be healed. And he was determined then not to let that opportunity pass. And so even when Mark tells us in verse 48 that many warned him to be quiet, he only cried out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you see, Bartimaeus was not to be silenced then, because he knew he needed something that only Jesus the Messiah could show to him. And that was mercy. And he was a man then who understood his own condition, the wretchedness of that condition. Not just that he was an outcast and a beggar, but that he was a sinner. And thus he knew that he was someone without a plea before God. But to beg for mercy through his son, just as he'd spent his lifetime begging for food and for money from others. And in his heart, he had been brought to see Jesus and his need of him then, before ever he saw him with the eyes of sight. And friends, what a blessing it is when we do come to see Jesus as God's provision for us in our need as sinners, when we are brought through the work of God's Spirit in our hearts to see ourselves as spiritual beggars in need of his mercy and his grace. I can well remember the time when at 19 years of age, God brought me to my knees at the side of my bed to cry out to him one evening, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And God heard that cry, just as he has heard the same cry of many of you here. For his ears are always open to the cry of a sinner who humbly calls out to him. And you see, that's what Bartimaeus discovered for himself here. Because you see, unlike the rich young ruler who came to Jesus earlier in this chapter, as we saw last week, grand ideas of his own ability to please God, to find favor with him by his own efforts, Bartimaeus and every sinner taught of God, they are brought to see that their only hope, it is Jesus himself. They have nowhere else to go then as sinners, but to him with this plea for mercy upon their lips. And friend, if you're here this morning, you still haven't come to that place, will you not go to Jesus as he's passing you by in the gospel? Will you not humbly cry out to him in your heart to bring you to see your desperate need of him? I can assure you, if you do that, your cry, it will not go unnoticed or unheard by him, any more than the cry of Bartimaeus went unnoticed by Jesus as he was passing him by here in Jericho. Because as you see, as the psalmist David declares in Psalm 86 and verse 5, the Lord is good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon him. And again, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 10 and verses 12 and 13, the Lord is rich to all who call upon him. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And you see, that's what Bartimaeus did here. He called in the name of the Lord and he was saved. And that brings us then in the third place to see the cure of Bartimaeus. You see, in spite of the protestations of many here, their low views of this blind beggar Bartimaeus, Jesus didn't see him as others did. And while they had tried to sideline him and silence him then, not Jesus. Because you see, Jesus is delighted when he senses the heart of a sinner humbly going out to him to make use of him as the divinely revealed friend and compassionate Savior of sinners. Because you see, Jesus' heart is filled with joy when sinners come to him as he's offered to them in the gospel, when they see their need of him, when they desire him to be their Savior and their Lord. Makes me think of the illustration I was reading of recently in a book by Dane Ortlund. Uses the example of a compassionate doctor to make this same point. Describes a compassionate doctor traveling deep into the jungle to provide medical care to a primitive tribe afflicted with a contagious disease. And he's had all of his medical equipment flown in to help them. And he's correctly diagnosed the problem. And all of his antibiotics, they're prepared and they're made available. And this doctor, he's independently wealthy, so he's no need of any financial compensation for what he is offering. But as he seeks to provide care, the afflicted refuse to have it as he offers it to them. Instead, they want to take care of themselves. They want to heal on their own terms. But finally, a few brave young men step forward to receive the care being freely provided. And Ortland asks the question, what does the doctor feel? He says he feels joy. In fact, his joy increases to the degree that the sick come to him for help and for healing, because that's the whole reason he came. Well, friends, the same is true of the Lord Jesus. It brings joy to his heart when sinners recognize their need of his mercy, his provision for them in the gospel, when they humbly bow before him in their hearts, when they come to him with empty hands to avail themselves of the rich mercy of God, which is to be had only in him. And that's exactly what we see in the case of Bartimaeus here. His heart, it went out to Jesus with a conscious awareness of his dependence upon him. And as a result, the Lord Jesus heard the cry of his heart, and his own heart went out to him in return. That's why we're told by Mark in verse 39 that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called to him. And so some of those present, they called him, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And upon hearing that, as it says in verse 50, Bartimaeus, he threw aside his garment. He rose and came to Jesus. And the result, as we read in verses 51 and 52, was that Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And friends, there were hundreds of people surrounding Jesus on this day on the road out of Jericho to Jerusalem on their way to the Passover. But Jesus singled out this poor, blind, despised beggar, Bartimaeus, singled him out from the crowds. He cured him of his blindness. Because you see, it was true faith that was at work in the heart of Bartimaeus. And Jesus knew that. And as we saw in the case of the woman with the flow of blood, Jesus is always sensitive to the presence and exercise of genuine faith in any heart. And friend, perhaps you're here. You may think at times that you're too insignificant for Jesus to pay any attention to you. That was the thinking of the crowds here in regard to Bartimaeus. You may think that Jesus isn't interested in your weak faith, your little problems in life either. Well, friend, I tell you, nothing could be farther from the truth. Because you see, faith in the heart of any sinner, even if it is weak faith, if it has the Lord Jesus as its object, it will always gain his attention and ear, and he will always respond to those who put their trust in him, who go out to him as their only hope then. And Bartimaeus would have been the last person on this road out of Jericho that anyone would have thought Jesus would have bothered to pay any attention to. But Jesus didn't belittle his cries, didn't ignore them. Instead, he stopped and he granted Bartimaeus' request here to be cured of his blindness. But I believe Jesus did so not simply because Bartimaeus wanted to have his eyesight restored, but because Jesus saw into his heart, knew that he also wanted most of all to see Jesus himself, so that he might now walk with him and follow him in life. That's why when Jesus did restore his sight and he said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well," or more literally, "Your faith has saved you." When Jesus said those words, Bartimaeus didn't say, "Well, thank you, Jesus. It's very nice of you to hear my cry and open my eyes. That's all I wanted from you. So now I'm out of here. I'll go my way and do my own thing in life." Not a bit of it. We're told in the latter part of verse 52 that immediately upon receiving his sight, he followed Jesus on the road. Because you see, true saving faith in the heart of a sinner, it brings them to Jesus, not simply because of what they can get out of him, but because they have come to see and appreciate something of the beauty of Jesus himself. What Isaiah speaks about in Isaiah chapter 33, when he says, "The eyes of the people of God, they will see the King in his beauty." And of course, that is in direct contrast to the natural man who sees no beauty in Jesus, that he should desire him, as Isaiah states elsewhere in Isaiah chapter 53. Well, Bartimaeus had seen in his heart by faith something of the beauty of the King of Zion then. And so his heart went out to him in love as his Savior and Lord, to whom he was now fully committed. And that brings us lastly then to reflect on Bartimaeus' commitment here. Commitment that is clearly seen in the fact, as we've said, he didn't go his own way in life, but he determined to follow Jesus. You see, when true saving faith is at work in the heart, it always leads to genuine commitment to Jesus, desire to have him as one Savior and Lord. That's why Bartimaeus didn't only call Jesus the Son of David here, didn't simply acknowledge and confess him as the Christ of God, the divine Messiah, the Savior of sinners. He also called him Rabboni, which means Master or Lord. And Lord is the way in which Luke translates this same word in his account of these events in Luke chapter 18. Because you see, Bartimaeus had evidently been taught of God in his heart. So we're reminded in Acts chapter 2 and verse 26 that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, or Lord and Savior. And by his words here then, Bartimaeus was acknowledging and owning that fact. By his actions, he was also demonstrating the commitment that was in his heart to now follow Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You see, whenever a person is truly saved, that will inevitably be the fruit that begins to grow in the tree of their life. Because whenever a person is savingly united to Jesus, my faith, his life becomes their life. And the natural outworking or outgrowth of that life, it will be an ongoing commitment to Jesus, an ongoing desire to please him by now following in his footsteps and walking in his ways. Makes me think of the Christian and a communist. They were sitting in a park bench one day watching the world go by. As they watched a poor drunken beggar walk by, dressed in rags. The communist pointed to the beggar, said to the Christian, "Communism would put a new suit on that man." To which the Christian responded, "Maybe so, but Jesus Christ can put a new man in that suit." And you see, that's the glory of Christianity. That's the secret of the power of real Christianity. That our union with Christ Jesus by faith, it not only puts us in him, but it also puts him into us. And we thereby become new creations in him, just like Bartimaeus here. You see, he was no longer a blind beggar, but a born-again believer. because the life of Jesus himself, it had entered into him, and he had entered into life as a result. And you see, it was because he was in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was in him after this encounter here then, that we see that same life coming to expression through his desire to now follow Jesus. Because that is the fruit and evidence of spiritual life at work in the heart of a person. They naturally start to follow Jesus because their lives are naturally supernatural. And they go after the Lord, desiring to be his faithful disciple then. They choose his way as their way, just as we see here in the case of Bartimaeus. According to some early church traditions, Bartimaeus went on to follow Jesus all the way to his passion. He later became a major figure in the church at Jerusalem. But whether or not that was the case, what we are to see and learn from Jesus here is the nature of real saving faith, what it produces in a renewed heart that has been captured by the mercy and love and beauty of the Lord Jesus. And friends, surely our hearts ought to be captivated by the mercy and the love and the beauty of the Lord Jesus. Surely they ought to be given over to him. For is he not worthy of our wholehearted commitment and total allegiance? Is he not worth following in life as our only Lord and Master? For friends, who is to be compared with him? Well, may we all see with the eyes of our souls the supreme glory and beauty and excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we all be fully committed to him in our hearts as Bartimaeus was here. And may we now seek to follow him in the way that he would have us to go. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the love and mercy and grace that you extend to us, that you offer to us as you pass us by in the gospel, just as you extended mercy to Bartimaeus here as you passed him by at the side of this road on your way out of Jericho to the place where you would give your life for your sheep, to redeem them, to bring them back to you. And we pray, Lord, that all of us would have eyes to see you in all of your beauty as heaven's King, the King of Zion, that we would see that you are the altogether lovely one. You are the fairest among men. And I pray that our hearts would be captivated and captured by you, not just by what you have done, but who you are that led you to become the suffering servant of Jehovah. For your heart beats with love and compassion for those who are wayward and have gone astray from you, desiring to see them brought back into the fold and coming under you as their Lord and Savior and King. And so, Lord, we pray that all of us would be bowing the knee of our hearts to you, bowing ourselves out that we might bow you in as our only rightful King and Sovereign. And help us, Lord, to love you and serve you and follow hard after you, to seek in all that we do in life, to be ever seeking to do it as unto you, our Lord. And we ask, Lord, give us grace then in life, in all things, to be faithful servants of you, as you were the faithful servant of Jehovah. Deliver us from living for ourselves, for our own interests, for a preoccupation with self. The Lord, that we would die to self, that we would live to you, that we would know the joy of living and walking in fellowship and communion with you through the work of your Spirit dwelling within our hearts. And so, Lord, bless your word. Apply it to all of us, we pray, and give the increase. For we ask these things in your own name and for your sake. Amen.